Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller, recording on Wednesday, the 16th of April, and I'm recording at a late 11:30 p.m. as I was at a concert this evening. But there's plenty to talk about here in today's markets. Lots of lively action. Let's start first with stock markets in the Asia Pacific region. Japan's Nikkei, good move, up just over 3%. That's taken the index back above that emotive 14,000 level, and it's 14,417 after tonight's close. Also, that TSE 2 second section index produced, looks like a little island reversal on the charts, but again rallying from the lower side of its broad trading range. I think you'll see this rally carry further tomorrow because the yen has also weakened a little bit further against the US dollar. Remember, it was down around the 101 level. Well, now there are 102 and a quarter yen to the US dollar. Now, elsewhere, Australia up, Hong Kong up a little bit, China up a little bit, but those were minor moves, basically. The next action here, well, India, which had been so strong in the last few days, India has come down a bit. Was down 0.92 of a percent here today. Last couple of days, it's been hit. As you know, the election is underway, the world's largest election, and it takes place over a three-week period. And there have been a lot of attacks on Narendra Modi, largely because he's very much the front runner in this election. And I think this has made some of the overseas pundits a little nervous who have gone into that market. I think it's inevitable virtually. Nothing's, I guess, completely inevitable in an election, but overwhelming odds that we'll see a Modi victory. But it all depends on how many seats he actually gets, because you know, if it's a strong victory, let alone an outright monopoly, or an outright majority, along with his closest coalition partner, then you'll have a strong government, and the stock market will actually love it. On the other hand, if it works out that Modi has to do a lot of bargaining with other smaller parties, the government will be weakened, and the stock market won't like it. Polls are varied, as you would expect. The last poll that had come out, well, last but one, had said that you'd have quite a significant victory by Modi, but again, you know, it was polling 24,000 people, according to the Bloomberg report on that. So, you know, it's hard to project, except a clear fact that Modi is very much the front runner, and the outcome will be extremely important in terms of what the market does, and not least in the short term. Now, Vietnam, a market that has had a terrific year so far, but it's had the second day of fairly sharp pullbacks from the high, and it looks like we're going to see a further consolidation in here, and that's probably in line with what we might see, probably will see, for a number of global stock markets. Okay, moving on from Asia, the European markets, good day in here today. The FTSE MIB in particular up 3.44%. That's a huge gain. Nice upward dynamic on the chart. And so far, we can say, looking at these Indian, I beg your pardon, these European stock markets, I'll say that again. I think we can say, looking at the various main EU stock markets, that for most of them, despite the Russian-Ukraine situation that's somewhat unsettling, understandably, that we haven't, for the major markets, we haven't really seen more than a normal pullback, and we're now rallying following that normal pullback. But you look a little more closely, and you take Germany, for instance. It's been moving sideways for 4.5 months in a range. Now, it rallied here today over 1.5%, coming up from the lower side of that range. But that 4.5 month trading range does indicate a loss of overall upside momentum. So downward breaks beneath the lows of these last 4 months would clearly indicate that a top formation had been completed. So there is a risk here that we are seeing some form of top formation in Germany and quite possibly some of these other European stock markets, although I'm not looking for anything beyond just a some significant corrections. And the main reason for that, as I've mentioned on so many occasions, is that the monetary policy will remain extremely accommodative. That's also the case in the USA, which had strong gains here today. Now, the Dow was up exactly 1%. It's taken it back to 16,400 and nearly 25, nearly 16,425. So it's regained about two-thirds of the decline that we had seen earlier this month. Now, the S&P, that was up 1.05%. And that's taken it back up to 1,862 and a little bit of change. That's regained, I would say, just a little over about 55% of the decline. So a little over half of decline. Now the Nasdaq, on the other hand, well, it had a reasonable gain in here today, 1.29%, the best percentage gain. But it's up maybe a fifth. It regained, in other words, maybe a fifth of the decline that we'd seen from the highs. And that's that NASDAQ Composite Index. The 4,000 level that I've been talking about, that's the psychological region of support. It was breached a few times, but then closed higher, including yesterday on. Beg your pardon, on Monday, but closed higher. But as I say, only regaining a fifth of that move overall. So where does that actually leave us? Well, now let's run through the others here. Canada had a good gain, 1%. So did Mexico, Brazil, nearly 1.5% percent here overall. So there's been lots of choppy action in the last few weeks, hasn't there? And it's something that we had been forecasting really for quite some time. I think that, of course, let's look at it this way. For indices to reaffirm their overall upward trends, that would require new closing highs. I don't think too many indices are actually going to do that in the short to not too distant medium term. In other words, over the next few months, I think that we will not see very many stock markets hit new highs for the year. Now, the greater risk, I think, is to the downside, and certainly moves that take out the lows that we've seen this month, the reaction lows that we've seen quite recently, if those are taken out for more than a day or two, that will indicate further technical deterioration and additional downside risk. Now, I think that's the likelihood, that's the, I think markets are more likely to move somewhat lower over the next few weeks than higher. Although they may well have a decent day tomorrow in this volatile environment. But while I do think there's additional medium-term risk here, as I've been saying, that the second and third quarters would see some sharp corrections. Given the very favorable monetary policies, extremely low interest rates, and yes, of course, the QE tapering continues in the United States, but nevertheless, with rock-bottom low interest rates, that's a favorable overall tailwind for the stock market. So that's why I am not looking for bearish moves, although there have been some exceptionally bearish forecasts that have been issued, but not from us. Okay, what about long-dated government bonds? Extremely quiet, just fractionally higher. I think the U.S. 10-year 2.6282, so it's still at the lower side of that 4.5 month trading range, and that will not give the Fed any concerns about inflationary pressures, at least based on the data that at least based on their inflation data figures. And so we're a long way still from that 3% psychological level on that 10-year. And I think that as we get a further correction on Wall Street and for a number of other stock markets, that will also keep those bond yields from moving up. Now, in currencies, it's relatively quiet. The dollar index a little firmer. It's at 79.828. Now, that's against the European currencies, and we haven't seen anything like an upward dynamic during the 3-day rally that we've had from that 79 level that I've mentioned on a number of occasions. That's the lower side of the dollar index's range for the last many months. We may get a slightly firmer action, but I think also the Fed is happy to see the dollar remain relatively low, competitive, it's a cheap U.S. dollar, certainly in terms of actual buying power. Now, other currencies in here, I've already mentioned what the yen had done. The Indian rupee was a little weaker in here today, but it's well within the desired range, so that's not a problem for the stock market. Sterling, quietly steady here, 1.6797, and we can also see that the euro, a little bit steady-ish here, 1.3817. Also, the Australian dollar at 0.9366, so that's a little bit steady here. Not a great deal going on, except the Chinese renminbi, that's remaining soft. In the commodity markets, we had among the grains and beans, soybeans were stronger, wheat and corn a little bit easier in here. They're pretty much range bound here right now. But still show those recovery patterns or recovering patterns. So in other words, they're capable of some further rallies, and that they haven't broken the overall upward consistency that we had seen earlier on from considerably lower levels. Now, industrial metals were firmer in here today, led by nickel, which is benefiting from production constraints. Supply is always the key variable in terms of commodity prices. And we have crude oil. That's quietly, it's been steady in the last week or so. 103.80 is the WTI level. And just looking at the for the Brent, if I can put that up and hold on for just a minute, and I will have that for you. Maybe I won't. I'll do one more try, and then can't bring it up here right now. Sorry about that. Precious metals, firmer on palladium. That's very much in the lead on that overall trading among the four futures market traded precious metals. And that's because most of the supply comes from Russia and South Africa. I think it must be nearly 90% of the supply coming from Russia and South Africa. So that's a speculative long play. Silver currently trading at 19.635. So it's not quite back into the little range that from which it had broken downwards yesterday, but it's testing the underside of it certainly. Gold steadyish in here at 1302.44. Remember, we had that big bear raid yesterday, and they have bounced off those levels, but only convincingly in terms of palladium. And I think those are the main points in here. So most of the drama actually occurring today in stock markets, and it was bullish to the upside in the majority of instances. And on that note, all the very best to all of you.